Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you. Getaway Friday, May the 21st, 2021. 5:21:21. 16 and a half minutes past the hour here. And what a great hour that was. Live, Nan Whaley, the Democratic frontrunner in the Democratic primary for governor, and the amazing Kreskin. How about that? Now, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. We can talk about anything on your mind. Do want to make this announcement. It's on the news report today as well, but I think it's important. Mayor Scott Schertzer is announcing that a class for lifeguard certification will be held at Lincoln Park Aquatic Center during the week of June the 7th. Scholarships are available for qualifying individuals for the cost of the certification class. Individuals interested in participating and becoming a certified lifeguard should contact Andrew Franklin, 740-725-9622, to sign up for the class. And I'm sure he'd have information regarding the scholarships as well. 740-725-9622. A great job and a great career to learn. A great, well, maybe not even so much a career, maybe a great thing to learn if you don't know how to be a lifeguard, how to save a life. That could come in handy anytime you go to the beach or the swimming pool. So call that number, 740-725-9622, Andrew Franklin. That would be a good thing. You know, and it would be a fun summer job for people who don't like to be inside. That would be good for them. We thank Nan Whaley and Amazing Kreskin for coming on in hour number one. What an hour that was. We certainly got Nan Whaley's opinions on the Vax-O-Million and the governor's performance so far in his first 4 years. And Kreskin, an interesting prediction when it comes to the Chinese and mind reading and things of that nature, and did predict right here this morning that Donald Trump, he believes, will run in 2024. There was the prediction. How about that? Anybody have anything to say? Give us a buzz here this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anything in regard to the Nan Whaley or Amazing Kreskin interview, or anything else that's on your mind on this Getaway Friday, 5:21:21. Give me a buzz. We'd love to talk about it. Now, I'm going to get into the atomic clock drama here. Now, it's, you know, you could not write this story in a book as far as life goes. So let me give you the whole story here on the atomic clock. Okay. And we're going to start from day one here to get to the point that we are now. We've had this atomic clock for 7 years in the studio. When we were at the mall, it worked half the time, and it didn't work half the time. Then we moved to the Beltone building. It worked all the time. Then we moved downtown to the Ohio Health building, and it never worked the entire year and a half we were there. We moved over here beginning of April, and the atomic clock did not work when we first came here, but after a couple days, it started working again. First time it had worked in a year and a half. And then it went haywire, and it stopped working altogether, and we had different times and different hours and different dates and everything. Okay, we had not had the correct time on this atomic clock for probably 2 weeks. It has not read correctly at all at any time up until yesterday. It was still not working yesterday. So yesterday morning, while I'm doing the show, we came up on the 9 o'clock break. And Pastor Heilman, who does the show on Sunday morning here on WWGH Radio, 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m., came in with a bag, and he gave me a very, very, gave the station a very nice brand new in-the-box digital atomic clock from Better Homes and Gardens. This is a beautiful, beautiful atomic clock. Also, yesterday, I ran into Jeannie Evers last night, Charlie Evers' wife, and she had an atomic clock. And she said, now take this atomic clock to the studio and see if it works over there, because it always works in my house, and see if it's just in the room you're in. Maybe that's the problem. Because if her atomic clock worked, then it's probably just our atomic clock that is wrong. So, I had Pastor Heilman's clock here, and it was still in the box, and I had Jeannie Evers' atomic clock, which was set and ready to go when I came in this morning. So I come in this morning to do this experiment, and wouldn't you know it, for the first time in 2 weeks, the atomic clock in the studio is working, the old one. Right now, 9:22 and 25 seconds, May 21st, 2021, and it's a Friday. For the first time in 2 weeks, this atomic clock is working in the studio. So now, I've got a Jeannie Evers clock here, which is right as well, but I don't know if it would be off because of the room, because now our atomic clock is working again. And now here's the deal with Pastor Heilman's atomic clock. I've got his atomic clock here, but on the back of the atomic clock, to get it out of the box, it even comes with a remote control, by the way. Now, you gotta love that. I think this is a remote control. Remote sensor temperature. Now, isn't that fascinating? But in any event, I've got his atomic clock here, but it's really a nice atomic clock, but it's screwed to this box. It looks like a Phillips screwdriver. A Phillips screw has screwed this to the box. And, of course, the studio is under construction. Now, I think we had a Phillips screwdriver at the old studio, but I would have no idea where it is right now. Maybe one of the boxes in the extra room. And so I went back there, though, because the studio's under construction, and I thought, well, I'll be able to find a Phillips screwdriver somewhere back here, because every room in this studio right now is under construction, except for the room that I sit in, the studio. So I thought, well, there's got to be a Phillips screwdriver somewhere around here, and I can't find one. So I can't get this out of the box because I don't have a Phillips screwdriver, but I'm going to look again at the next break and see if I can find one. So hopefully I'll have this hooked up before the day is over, because I think it's getting time to retire the old atomic clock anyway, because I just don't know what's going on there. But does anybody have any explanation for this? That for 2 weeks, this thing did not work. Nobody has changed the batteries. Nobody has changed the settings. And all of a sudden, this morning, it kicks in. Now, does anybody get that at all? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anybody have any idea on the old atomic clock? It's interesting. But I'll be glad to get this new atomic clock hooked up. And of course, I thank Jeannie Evers for letting us borrow her atomic clock to check this atomic clock. And maybe if it goes out again, I'll be able to notice if her atomic clock goes out, to see if it's our issue. Which it very well could be. I have no idea. Now, I will tell you something, though. We had very warm temperatures yesterday. Last night, I was out after 7 o'clock, and it was still 86. So I don't know what the high temperature was yesterday, but it's hot. And for everybody who was waiting for the warm weather, it's definitely here. And this is our first spring summer in the new studio here, and I will say that it's definitely warm in here. So the idea of doing a show on the porch is definitely coming very soon, because as many of you know, these older houses, they stay cool for a long time because they hold the coolness, but they also hold the warmth, because they're very well insulated in how they were built. So we can't open a window because of the soundproofing in the studio. So I'm definitely going to be looking at doing a program on the porch very, very soon, because it is warm. Now, the temperature gauge here on the atomic clock says 75 degrees. 75 degrees before 10 o'clock. And it was over 70 degrees when I came in here at about 7:30. But it's stuffy is the issue. You know, I don't notice it so much right now because I'm not outside. But when you come from the fresh air of outside in here, you can definitely tell the difference. But that's the way that goes. Does anybody have any tips for beating the heat? That's always an interesting subject. 27 and a half minutes past the hour here. Atomic clock thoughts or ways to beat the heat. 740-383-9944. Another thing I want to address, because we did not have a chance to do it yesterday, because I had guests on the program. Judge Joe Brown was on yesterday, and we had Tracy Kinsler on yesterday, so I did not get a big chance to address this yesterday. On Wednesday, Glenn Coble and I were having a conversation, and it was mostly about the vaccination process and things of that nature. We're going to take the call here, then we'll come back to this thought. Go ahead, caller.
You ever get them tomatoes planted?
No, I haven't got that.
Well, come on.
Well, no, is this tomato season?
Yeah, they took and told you that the other day, I guess.
Well, I thought that you had to wait until the first frost, or the frost were over.
When it gets to being 90, I think you're nice and safe. Ain't gonna be no more frost or snow.
Now, are you sure? Because
I'm 100% sure.
100%.
Yeah. Once you get to where it's like below 60 and the high of 90, I think you're pretty much in the clear zone.
So you think I'm good to go now?
Yeah. So I just went ahead and planted mine last weekend, so I wouldn't hate to do something I wouldn't do.
Now, how did you plant yours? Did you get...
Well, I just scratched a little dirt around, stuck the plant in there.
Oh, so you actually went... You didn't start with just the seeds.
No, I don't. I oftentimes think it would be fun to do that, you know, get a grow light and like an egg carton or something, start these in the basement in the winter, but I've never... done that. I just get the plant.
So you put the plant in the ground. How far do you put it down?
Well, it comes in a pot. I just put it to where, like, flush to the dirt that it sits in. You want to be careful when you're getting it out of the pot that you don't break the roots. You got to tap it out kind of gently.
Now, how many tomatoes will you get off this thing by Labor Day?
More than you could shake a stick at.
Really? This little plant?
You'll be giving the tomatoes to your friends, your neighbors, probably people you don't like. You'll be asking everybody to take tomatoes.
You know, if tomatoes are so plentiful, why are they fairly expensive in the grocery store?
I don't know.
You think they would be a lot less costly?
Right. Well, got a rule. Talk to you later, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there. No, I haven't got the tomato thing done yet, but I'm going to work on it because I do want to do that. I was just busy last week. I was up in Russell's Point, so I didn't have a chance to get to it. Maybe I'll get to it this weekend. The weather's supposed to be nice from what I hear, and we probably are not going to have another frost, although never say never. 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on beating the heat or the whole atomic clock situation or anything else on your mind? Now, the situation that I was going to address from Wednesday was Glenn Coble and I were having a conversation about the vaccination. And, you know, I think sometimes when you're having a conversation, and that's what I'm doing with Glenn on Wednesday, I guess I never pay... You don't remember everything that's said. And, you know, we do it every Wednesday, and it's just what it is. And we had a caller call in somewhat through that program. And the caller felt that they had been referred to not, that they're not, nothing, how do I say, I don't want to say the words again, because they weren't the most pleasant words in the world, but they were words, you know, like idiot, that sort of word. And the caller felt that they had been referred to as this that morning. And when the caller called in, I did not know exactly what they were referring to. But then we had another caller call in and say that Glenn had referred to people in general, in regard to vaccinations, as people who didn't get the vaccination, as certain words. And, you know, I think sometimes we all get, we use these adjectives to describe people. But we describe them in broad terms. Like, I'll give you an example. You know, when we're talking about people who drive above the speed limit, we say, you know, some drivers are all just nuts. They're all just nuts. They're crazy. Now, we would never, if somebody walked up to us and said, a personal person who we knew, and said, you know, I was out on County Road, blah, 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 and I had a new car, and I got it up to 100 miles per hour out there. Now, chances are you would not, in a derogatory nature, say to that person, you're crazy, you're nuts. You might do it in a laughing way. You might do it in a friendly way. So I think what happens is that when a conversation is happening, not that Glenn doesn't feel that people should get the shot, I'm very sure he does, but I don't think those terms are ever personal toward anybody. I think they're blanket statements. And so I'm not speaking on Glenn's behalf. I'm sorry if anybody felt that way, because that certainly was not the intent of that particular program, and I don't think, you know, the whole thing with the vaccination has gotten people very tense, because now you got millions of dollars, you got politics in it, you got a lot of stuff going on. And I think, for some reason, this has become, and it is life or death. You know, the people have died from COVID-19. A lot of people have been sick in the hospital with it. A lot of people are having after effects of it. And now you got a vaccine that a lot of people are scared of. And people who have had side effects from the vaccine. I don't know that they've had long-term side effects from the vaccine, but they have had side effects. So there's a lot going on here, and it's something we've never faced, and the unknown is fearful to people. You know, years ago, I was told the way to get rid of fear is knowledge, and I believe that's true. We worry about things we don't know the answer to. And in this particular case, we don't know the answers because it came so fast. So I think it has made people very uneasy and very nervous. And I think that's why we get terms are used and things are done. But that's what I wanted to say about that because I didn't have a chance to say it yesterday. So there you are. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on that. Certainly would love to hear them. 740-383-9944. Now, another thing I did not get to mention yesterday, Ryan, one of our devoted listeners, won our, I believe it's Uncle Osgood's popcorn on a cob that you put in the microwave. He picked that up on Tuesday, I believe. And we all wanted to see pictures and video of this. And Ryan's wife, I believe, sent over the videos and the pictures. And it was interesting because what it looked like was you had to put the cob in a bag. And then you put it in the microwave. And when you pulled the bag out, you pulled the cob out of the bag. And the popcorn fell off the cob. That's what it looked like. And whoever took the video and the pictures did a very good job. But if Ryan's out there listening, let us know how it actually happened. Was it hot? Because I kept thinking, you know, I bet that's hot to take that cob out of the popcorn bag, I would think. But I do thank Ryan for sending in those pictures and the video because we all wanted to see what it looked like popping or when it was finished, and we certainly got to see it. And it was interesting because some of the kernels that did pop stayed on the cob. So it's an interesting item. But I guess you could not really see it popping because you did have to put the cob in the bag when you put it in the microwave. So at some point, if Ryan's out there listening, he can call and let us know this morning how that all shook out. 740-383-9944. All right. Next topic of discussion this morning. And I don't remember if I talked about this the other day or not. So if I'm repeating myself, somebody let me know. But the other night, Saturday night, when I got back from Russell's Point, I was out with Angie, and she had seen something about a grave out on Cardington Road. Now, the grave, I believe the man's name was John Grimm. And what's interesting about this is, John Grimm was killed in the 1800s by a falling tree. A tree fell and killed John Grimm. Now, here's what's confusing. John Grimm is his grave, which is a white marble grave, is just out in the middle of Cardington Road. No cemeteries, no other graves, just his. Now, what's also interesting is that there are four, if you drove by it, you wouldn't even know it was a grave, because there are four big concrete slabs, probably about 3 foot, 4 foot tall, all around it that are surrounding the grave. So you really can't see the grave from the road. All you can see the grave from the road, but you can't see the tombstone because it's covered up by these four concrete slabs. And then there's a sign, just an old wooden sign, that says John Grimm, and then it gives, I think, the date of his death, 18 something or another, and killed by a tree. Now, what I don't understand about this, I mean, was there a cemetery out there? Why is he buried there? And why is this important? I'm sure other people have been killed by trees. It makes it an oddity. It's a very big oddity. And through all of the oddities of Marion, Ohio, I have never never heard of this one until this past Saturday. I've heard of Gypsy Queen. I know that story. I've certainly heard of the Merchant Ball and the Marian Cemetery. I've heard of that story. I've never heard about this thing. And maybe because it's out in the middle of nowhere on Cardington Road. And I'll tell you something else. I don't even know if it's on anybody's property. Now, here's the weird thing. And does anybody know the answer to this? Out on Cardington Road, because it's an old country road, there are houses out there. Not many, but there are houses. And there are markers denoting the address. You know, like 1940, 1942. There are those signs that tell you what the addresses are, I'm sure, for the postal people. So, how do you find this grave? Well, this grave has an address. So, what I don't understand, I could not, is it on somebody's property? I don't think so, because when you get there, it's not far from a house, and there I believe there's a house across the street, but all those houses have their own addresses, and then there's an address next to this grave, and there's no a house behind the grave, or really anywhere near it. You know, you would have to go probably 30 feet or across the street to get to a house. And that all those houses have their own addresses. But this man, who's long dead, has his own address. So at least he still gets mail, I guess. Old John Grimm, out there killed by a tree. Would anybody have an explanation for that? That's very strange. But I'll tell you, take your kids out there this weekend. Cardington Road. You'll find it. You can't miss it. It's out there. It's big concrete pillars if you drive down the road. If you see the big concrete blocks, you'll know that's the grave. You pull off, put your blinkers on, get out and look in. But who is this guy? Is that where the tree fell and killed him? See, I'm trying to figure out what this is all about, why he's buried there. I don't get if that's where the tree killed him. I don't get if he lived there. I don't know if does he still own it. He has his own address. You could send him mail. Maybe that's the secret to eternal life. You have an address at your grave, and then you'll get mail for the rest of your life. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Anybody got any ideas on this? 740-383-9944. Old John Grimm. Now, what this reminds me of, does anybody remember the story? It's a big Marian tale of Ebenezer Roseberry. I have the story somewhere. It's in a book. But we've talked about it here on the air before, but Ebenezer Roseberry essentially was I don't know if the story's real or not, to be honest. You know, I'm sure he was a real person, but I don't know if the story's been hyped up over the years. But he would have been in the 1800s as well. But the story was Ebenezer Roseberry died, and he was having a wake. And his friends came over and got drunk at the wake and loaded up Ebenezer for one last ride on their horse and carriage. And somewhere, Ebenezer falls off. He's dead. You know, corpse. The corpse falls off the horse and buggy, and they just leave him there. His drunk friends. Now, I can't remember, because I don't have the book in front of me. I don't remember if they buried him there or if somebody came and picked him up later on and took him to a grave, or I don't know what happened with Ebenezer Roseberry. Does anybody know that story or have the book that it's in? I think the book's at my house. And is his grave marked like this John Grimm? I don't know. I wish I had the book here, I'd tell you. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the old Ebenezer Roseberry story? Or does anybody know the story behind John Grimm? Now, he is out there. He's got his own address. Now, Ebenezer Roseberry, I don't know. I think Ebenezer Roseberry's more famous because he's got this story that's been published. And I don't remember where he, but they I think in the story they say where he fell off I guess it's not a horse and buggy. It's just an old wagon. I don't know. Pulled by horses. So does anybody know anything about Ebenezer Roseberry or John Grimm? Apparently, you know, is there a law in Marion? Can you be buried on your property? I don't know if there's a law against that. You know, most people like to go to cemeteries, but when you think about it, you can keep people's ashes at your house. Why, if you own your property, why couldn't you be buried there? I know it obviously happens. I'm sure this John Grimm, I'm sure that that's not a cemetery where he's buried. And, I don't know where Ebenezer Roseberry ended up. If they didn't bury him along the side of the road there where he fell off the horse and wagon, I don't know where he's buried. So somebody, it's Memorial Day, so this is a good subject. 740-383-9944. Memorial Day coming up here in a week. So does anybody know anything about these people? Ebenezer Roseberry, John Grimm? This always leads me, and we haven't talked about this for quite a while, but I still say this is the true mystery of Marion. The true mystery of Marion is Eber Baker, you know, the founder of Marion. Because Eber Baker, we all know, was buried in the Quarry Street Cemetery when he died. And the Quarry Street Cemetery, if you don't know where Quarry Street is, if you go down Greenwood, this is also an interesting thing to do. I'm kind of giving you the free tour of Marion. Maybe I should lead bus tours. Me and bus driver Sarah, or the other bus driver who listens, I wonder if they could commandeer the bus, and I'll get on one morning, and we can go visit John Grimm and Ebenezer Roseberry and the Gypsy Queen and the Merchant Ball and Eber Baker's Quarry Street Cemetery. And I'll give you the story. I'll speak on the bus to the people. See, that would be good for the city. See, there's something good. Good idea. Now, or does anybody own a bus out there who would just take us all around? And we'll load up people who want to go on the bus tour, and I'll tell the story. So, Quarry Street. You know, you go down Greenwood, and before the tracks, if you're going, I guess you'd be going south. If you're going south on Greenwood towards Center Street, before the tracks on your right, it's Quarry Street. I believe it's the last street before the tracks. So you turn down that, and it's an old street, and on your right, you will see the Quarry Street Cemetery as you're driving down there. Now, this is where Eber Baker was buried. Okay. Now, he's the founder of our city, so on and so forth. Well, somewhere along the line, Quarry Street became abandoned. Cemetery. The cemetery became abandoned, and for some reason, unbeknownst to me, people started to knock over the tombstones, and they started to vandalize it, and it just got in bad, bad shape. So, this was the story. Now, this is where story and reality, we don't know if they meet. And it's a good project for somebody, a good Memorial Day project. The story has always been that when the cemetery on Quarry Street started getting vandalized, that they exhumed the body of Eber Baker, the founder of Marion, and they took him over to the Marion Cemetery on Delaware Avenue, and they buried him in there. And if you do go to the cemetery on Delaware Avenue, the Marion Cemetery, you will find a tombstone for Eber Baker. Nice tombstone. Big tombstone. But there is no record. Well, there really are no records for the Quarry Street Cemetery because that's long out of business. But the Marion Cemetery, I've called them, there are no records on anybody being moved there. So there's nothing in Eber Baker's file. It just says that this is where his grave is. And it probably says who paid for it, the tombstone. But it never, there's nothing on the body being exhumed or brought there, nothing at the cemetery, the Marion Cemetery. They have nothing on file as in regard to that. And there is nothing anywhere that I could ever find about the body of Eber Baker being exhumed. Now, this would have happened somewhere in the 1900s. I don't know what year the Marion Cemetery opened, but Quarry Street, I don't think, became a vacated cemetery until the late 1800s, early 1900s. So they would not have exhumed his body until, I'm sure, after the 1900s. So does anybody have any, I don't get this. I think what happened was, to be honest with you, I think Quarry Street was being vandalized and out of business. This is the founder of the city, Eber Baker. And somebody said, this is embarrassing. And they put up a tombstone for him in the Marion Cemetery. I think that's what happened. I don't think his body was ever exhumed. I don't think he's buried in the Marion Cemetery. And I don't think, I think he's still over on Quarry Street, which is nice that he's still in Marion. But does anybody know any thoughts on this? You can have an opinion. This is History Morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what happened to Eber Baker? And another point in this is that, you know, Eber Baker had a wife. And I believe his wife was buried with him in Quarry Street. And there is no record or anything in regard to her being exhumed and taken over to Marion Cemetery. Matter of fact, if somebody wants to, it's a nice day, you know, you can go over to Quarry Street or you can go out to the Marion Cemetery. You can find the Eber Baker tombstone in the Marion Cemetery. I don't think you can find it anymore in Quarry Street. But the Eber Baker tombstone in the Marion Cemetery, I don't believe says anything about his wife. So, if they did indeed exhume his body, which really there's no proof of, did they take Mrs. Baker? I don't know. Maybe she's still over at Quarry Street. It's a bizarre story. And a matter of fact, over on Quarry Street, you know, people used to park on the cemetery. I think they finally did put a fence up over there, but it's really almost in somebody's backyard. I don't know if the city still owns that property or not over on Quarry Street, but people started using it for a parking lot during the popcorn festival. So, you know, I think that became embarrassing to the city that people were parking on the founder of Marion. But if somebody can prove to me that the body was exhumed and he was taken over to the Marion Cemetery, I'll be glad to concede. But until and this is the problem. See, Marion County did not get a historical society until the 1960s. So all this stuff that happened prior to the 1960s, there's a collection of memorabilia from that era, from personal collections, but there was nobody on hand collecting it. Like when Quarry Street Cemetery closed, I don't think the records went to the Historical Society because there was no Historical Society at that point. Matter of fact, I don't know where they went. They could be in a file cabinet at City Hall because it would have been a city cemetery because Quarry Street's in the city. So I don't know if It's in an old file cabinet at City Hall somewhere. Who's buried in Quarry Street Cemetery? I don't know. Because you would have to have the exhumation of Eber Baker's body on record. You can't just do that. You can't just go in and exhume somebody's body. Somebody's got to order it. And it's a big process to, you know, first of all, you'd have to find where he was buried because all the tombstones are tipped over. So you would have to have some kind of outlay of the plots of Quarry Street Cemetery. And then you'd have to transport it over to the Marion Cemetery, his tombstone, which would have probably been very fragile because in those days, I don't think they were embalming when Eber Baker died. And he was probably just buried in a pine box. So it could be tough. They might have pulled up a body that wasn't Eber Baker and took him over. And who's buried in Eber Baker's plot? See, there's a whole new mystery. Who's buried in Eber Baker's plot? In the Marion Cemetery. It's a little fascinating, I think. See, this is Marion. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I got a question.
Go ahead.
Now, first of all, that's a great idea. And you got the hookup with your friend, the mayor, so if anybody's got any pull, you know, to make that happen, the whole tour bus thing, it's you, Scott.
Well, Nate, he's on, I believe, next week. Maybe I'll ask him.
Pitch the idea to him, see how it goes. Probably it's going to go over like a lead angle, but, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. That's a great idea, and I'd be more than happy to drive. Are you going to provide the refreshments?
Oh, do we have to have, like, Twinkies and lemonade?
You have to have some kind of, I mean, it wouldn't be a very fun tour without some snacks. But on a more serious note, have you ever heard that the people in the Quarry Street graveyard, they didn't move them because of bubonic plague?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of talk about that.
That's what I always heard when I was a little kid in the 80s, and my mom said that's why they didn't move them.
But, you know, and conversely, yes, that has been a story for a long time, but it's odd because they outwardly tell you that they did move Eber Baker. So, again, I don't know.
And how long could the plague last? You know what I mean?
Oh, when you die, I see, and that's why I tend to believe that's a little bit of a fairy tale too.
Because, but you heard it though, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. It absolutely is. I think it's a wives' tale. I'm not a doctor.
Or the urban legend.
Yeah, an urban legend. But you know, when the body dies, no other disease can live on you. So I don't know why that.
Yeah,
one
that's
would.
What I'm thinking. Like, how would that even happen?
Right, but you're exactly right. That is a completely contradictory. You can't have the urban legend that no bodies were moved because of bubonic plague and then say, well, but yes, we did move Eber Baker's body.
I never knew until just now that he was buried over there.
Well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. He started out being buried over there.
Oh, so you had heard that he started out being, or do you?
Oh, no. He was definitely buried there. There was
really? I never knew that.
Yeah, he was buried there. But the town.
The headstones are so old you can barely even read any of them.
Right. No, he was definitely buried there. That's on record. But there is some question on if he was ever exhumed, because his tombstone that's readable, because he was the founder of Marion, is in the Marion Cemetery. But there was no Marion Cemetery when he died. So, you know, did that ever happen, or is that just a marker? And is he really still buried over on Quarry Street?
That was the middle school I went to, Eber Baker Middle School.
You know, isn't that sad, too? I mean, that's the one name. All the other ones that we lost, like Fair Park, street names, that's no big deal to change a school street name. But that we lost the founder of Marion's name when we changed all the schools to Presidents, that was the one I thought that was a little, that's unfortunate. Because there's nothing named after him now.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. Well, we'll get the bus tour down. Thank you.
Awesome.
Bye-bye. All right, well, the Eber Baker story is here, but you know what? We're at the end of the hour. What an interesting hour. Think about this stuff, folks. I'll be on the air. Give me a call, 740-383-9944, back in 15 minutes. Early Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy. Is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell. With it,
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I forgot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
You never asked anybody that question.
No, I wouldn't even know. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's the... You bring your enemies close.
That was... Mm-hmm. Had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.
Hillary and Obama. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH.